It is a nonprofit effort that helps people in need who are finally getting a place of their own. Many of these individuals or families have nothing to furnish their places with, so this program, Feather and Nest, in the words of their mission, helps low-income individuals furnish their homes with hope and dignity. Here to discuss this important program with you are Diane Wittenberg, Jim Wittenberg, and Cynthia Sir. Welcome, you guys, and thanks so much for coming today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
It's a unique program. I've never heard of one like this. Diane, maybe you'd like to start. I wonder if you could begin by letting our listeners know how this program began. Did the three of you think it up, or is it a national program? How did it come about?
It came about out of a desire to serve. Cynthia and I have been friends for 25 years, worked together for that long. And she knew that in my retirement that Jim and I were looking for something to do to serve the community. And one day she sent me an email with a link to a group in Detroit that was doing the very same thing. Their name is Humble Design. Mm-hmm. They started in 2009 and have furnished probably 800 or 900 apartments by now.
Wow.
And so we contacted them and Feather and Nest was born.
Hmm. Do you know how many you've furnished so far?
We've completely furnished 41 homes.
Wow.
Since we started in November of 2016.
Okay.
And we have provided items for a few others. We just dropped off things that they might have needed.
Okay, and I don't know who'd like to answer this, but could you explain to our listeners what Feather and Nest is and how it operates?
What we do is we accept referrals from HALO, the Hope Center, the Women's Resource Center, and other organizations in Racine that deal with homeless people who are transitioning from the shelter or from homelessness into an apartment. And then we contact those folks, visit their apartments, and see what we can do for them.
Before you feather a nest, you actually go to the site and meet the people? And, like, do you out sizes and colors
of
carpet?
Yes, we take measurements and find out what they need, specifically what colors might be important to them.
Mm-hmm.
If they have kids, we talk to them about what their kids would really like to see in their rooms and whatever we can do to make it a special home for them.
Oh, it's so exciting. Are there items you don't provide? Like, do you provide pictures also and mirrors and TVs, vehicles? Are there items you don't take?
We do not supply appliances.
Okay.
We stay away from that, but mm-hmm. Pretty much everything from top to bottom, from dishes to decor to couches to beds.
Bedding.
Mm-hmm.
Toys, if somebody donates some toys, we do take them. We don't do that often.
But. Right.
Do you do all the rooms? Like if you have a three-bedroom apartment, do you furnish all the rooms or everything, or do you?
Everything.
Okay.
Everything.
Wow.
We've gone from single person individuals to mm-hmm. families of six or seven.
Mm-hmm. And you go to rentals and homes, or are they mostly rentals?
As far as I know, they're all rentals.
Okay.
We don't really ask that question.
Okay. Right.
As long as we get a referral from one of the agencies, we just visit and do the best we can to make their home as nice as
mm-hmm.
we can for them.
And there's a lot of confidentiality in all of this, I'm sure.
Yes.
Correct.
No names. And so do you hang pictures up? And
we do.
Mirrors, you do?
Absolutely.
So you just try to make it look like a homey, complete room when you're
yes.
done.
And if people are interested in seeing what we do, they can see our website.
Great.
There are before and after pictures on the website.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And we also have a Facebook page.
Great.
Where we post after we do an install, as we call them. The before and after
okay.
pictures.
So what's the website for our listeners?
It's featherandnest.org.
Featherandnest.org. I went to featherandnest.com and it took me a while to get to you.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure you told me org.
And I hope so.
What about Facebook? They just put in Feather and Nest?
That's correct.
Okay, super. So geographic areas. What geographic area do you serve? Are you also in the Kenosha area?
Not yet. We're focusing on Racine because of where we live. We're in Franklin and Cindy and Robin Pleasant Prairie, and we saw a need in Racine.
Oh, yeah,
so
there's
that's
a great
what we chose.
Need. Huh. There was actually an article in the paper this week that said 194 homeless individuals in the Racine area, which is really high. Although I think some of them might be in the homeless shelter and counted in that number. But also I should tell our listeners I talked to Gay Lorenzen, who had a conflict today, but I'm going to have her in a different time. But she just wanted me to express to you guys how very much this means to her homeless people at HALO, because their mission is to move them from homelessness to self-sufficiency. And what you do by furnishing these apartments is just really amazing. So if someone's listening and they're an individual and they're moving out of homelessness, can they contact you or do they have to go through an agency?
We need to have an agency referral.
Okay.
Just because we're not big enough to check people out and find out, you know, what their needs really are. We have had a couple of times where people we've helped have referred other people, and we just suggest that they go to one of the agencies in Racine and talk with them and then see if we can get a referral that way.
I'm sure you can't expand to the Kenosha area with the four of you juggling all that you're juggling, but for our Kenosha listeners, it would be nice if, you know, it's a really important thing if they don't have such a agency that they could call you and get some advice, I bet.
Yeah,
so anybody listening out there.
What's worked for us.
Since you need a lot of furniture, how do you fund yourselves as an organization?
We're smiling because when we decided, we were very naive, I think, as you are when you try to do something like this. Mm-hmm. We started out by buying things from secondhand stores ourselves and collecting from our friends, going through our own linen closets.
Yeah.
We felt like we had to furnish at least one or two apartments successfully before we could ask people to contribute.
Mm-hmm.
And once we did that, then we started putting the word out, just word of mouth,
mm-hmm.
and then also through the church that we belong to. They've been very supportive, and that's how we, you know, it's mm-hmm. just been word of mouth.
Mm-hmm. So if anyone is listening out there, if you wanted to donate, you can go to the website for donation information.
Also
through Facebook.
Also through Facebook. Yes. Mm-hmm. Great. Since you find all of this furniture, and you don't have a site yet, we understand.
Right.
So where is it all right now? How do your houses look?
It's in three separate locations. Our garage, Diane and Jim's garage. It's in Cynthia's basement. And our son-in-law has a lawn and garden business.
Oh.
And he rents a building from somebody else, and he gave us part of his space. So we're using that also. So we're in three different locations, Franklin, Oak Creek, and Pleasant Prairie.
And your cars sit outside.
Yes, no, they do.
They do.
Yes.
How does the balance work for what you get? I mean, do you wish you'd get more couches, or do you wish you'd get more beds, or, you know, or
it's really cyclical right now. Dressers.
And beds.
Yeah. And beds.
Yeah.
We'll find that all of a sudden we get a ton of couches, or all of a sudden we get a ton of beds, and you're missing the other pieces.
Mm-hmm.
But we have this thing called the blue crib theory. That came from Humble Design. They had a client that wanted all she wanted was a blue crib. And they were wondering where they were going to get this blue crib. And the truck drove up. They lift the lid lift the door on the truck, and there sits a blue crib.
Oh, my gosh.
So every time we really need something, we don't know where it's going to come from, it shows up, and we call it our blue crib.
It's happened
over and over and over to us.
Yeah. That is just amazing. So when you do you ever reject someone that has been referred? Do you have an application that they have to go through? And
no, we've never rejected anyone.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We trust the agencies mm-hmm. to refer the people that they think that we can help.
Yeah.
And so, no, we haven't had, we've worked really hard sometimes trying to get everybody furnished. As of right now, we have four families waiting.
Oh.
They'll all be moving into their places the 1st of January. Hmm. So we're struggling a little bit to find enough beds. Our need right now is beds.
Okay. And is there a number that people can call, or do you prefer not to?
Yes.
Okay,
the number is 414-520-7465.
7465. Okay, for our listeners, if you grabbed a pen, 414-520-7465. If you want to ask about donating or volunteering, I'm sure they can use all the help they can get here. So,
and of course, cash donations are always welcome.
Yes.
There's a place on our website to do that as well.
Yeah. I suppose you can get some agency donations too, probably.
We'd like to. Jim has been writing some grant proposals.
Good.
We haven't gotten anything yet, but
good.
we're young and we're learning.
And you are 501c3.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
I tend to say
yes, we are.
501c3, and then I get corrected, so I always stop and go 501c3. people can call you to give furniture, and I assume you don't take everything.
No, we don't. No. We do not take sofa sleepers. We have a hard time sometimes just getting a sofa into some of the places that we have because of the stairways and the doorways. So we do not take sofa sleepers. We do not take king-size beds. And we do not take entertainment centers or armoires.
And Cindy mentioned earlier major appliances. We do not handle those either.
I can imagine that would be very challenging, even litigiously, I guess, if the appliance overheated or there were problems.
Right.
Yeah. And there are used appliance places, so hopefully in time people can take care of that. Tell me about community support. You mentioned you were with the Continuum of Care, Diane, when I talked to you the other day. How do agencies in the community, do they help, or are they starting to notice you guys more?
Yeah, they're really starting to notice us. The first COC meeting we went to was in August. And some of the folks there had heard of us, especially the people from HALO and the Hope Center. And they were really encouraging us to continue doing what we were doing. They've offered support for grant writing and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And what we did when we went there was sort of open the floodgates, because once they all learned about us, they had people that really needed help. So Jim continues to go to those meetings. I haven't been to all of them. Do you have anything you want to add to that?
No, I just think that the other agencies, that's where other agencies got more involved in recommending people for us. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how the floodgates opened up.
It is really exciting, because sometimes I think, you know, what kind of agencies are needed, and you feel like, oh, there's homeless shelters, and there's this program, and this program, and food programs. But this never occurred to me, and it's so important.
I don't think it occurred to us either. It didn't occur to me until Cindy found the article about Humble Design. And it's just, as a friend of mine wrote on Facebook, it's simple and brilliant. You take what someone else doesn't want or can't use anymore and give it to someone who has nothing.
That is such a good phrase. Simple and what?
Simple and brilliant
and
is
brilliant.
What he called it. And
it
then
really
he,
is.
He also added on Facebook, could you do this in your community?
Huh.
Which we would love to see happen.
Yeah. So have you interacted with other places doing similar things and gotten information from them?
Just from Humble Design.
Okay.
Yeah, they were very helpful in the beginning.
They shared their bylaws with us
and
other things. So we were able to, when we formed our organization, we were able to use their templates to put together those items that we needed.
Yeah. I don't want to read too much here, but I love your, I don't know if it's a mission statement or if it's just a paragraph, but Feather and Nest is a nonprofit organization for the specific charitable purpose to assist low-income families and individuals from shelters to their own housing by furnishing living spaces with their housing needs through products and services designed to make their living space dignified, clean, safe, and functional. We hope to furnish homes with hope and dignity. And I thought that hope and dignity was just so nice. I think we all remember when we got our first place, whether it was a rental or a home. But you remember just being so excited, and the whole nesting thing is just in us, I think. But a lot of people from homelessness go into places where maybe they get an air mattress, and that's what they have for a while.
Most of the places we do go, when we go to visit, if they're lucky, they have an air mattress.
Right.
A lot of
the time,
them.
A blanket, a backpack with some clothing, or a plastic bag with some clothing.
lots of plastic bags of clothes.
And that's a difficult proposition, you know.
Absolutely.
You leave the shelter and you get your own place, which is really wonderful, but how do you thrive when all you have is the bare minimum? You know, and I think that's where we really wanted to put our efforts, you know. It's not just survival. Uh-huh. It's about living and thriving and being successful.
Yeah.
It's one less worry that these people have. Yeah. I mean, they can concentrate on other things to get their life back together.
Right.
It is simple but brilliant. And I like the question, how do you thrive? Because, you know, sometimes that's true. You get something, but, you know, if you don't have, in this case, the things to make it really a cozy home,
Even just a bed to sleep on. If you imagine that, walk into your home and imagine all you have is the floor.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I know that Rapid Rehousing attempts to get people into housing as soon as possible. Do you work with them or do you get referrals from them?
We have 3 referrals from them right now.
Wow.
And I was not aware of the Rapid Rehousing program until we had a meeting. I talked to the Gay a little bit about it. We did have an email from HALO about 3 families that were being relocated through Rapid Rehousing. So I had to say, well, what is that? Explain the program to me. So, yes, we do, and we will work as much with them as we can. But, you know, we still are only 4.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So for volunteers out there, for people listening, for a great thing to volunteer for, call that number, 414-520-7465, or look on the website for featherandnest.org.
Exactly.
There are, besides the really human concerns you're serving by this, you also have environmental benefits in a way, don't you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We hope to keep as much out of the landfill as we can. There are so many things that, when we pick up furniture, a lot of times people say, well, I didn't know what to do with it. There aren't places that pick it up anymore like they used to be.
No.
People who have a loved one in a nursing home that passes away or in assisted living, they have all this furniture. What do they do with it? They're grieving to start with.
Absolutely.
And then they have to go through all these things that were special or precious to their family members and then worry about how you're going to get it out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Or else you have to keep paying rent. So I think we provide a service to those folks as well.
Absolutely. Keeping it out of the landfills mm-hmm. is a huge environmental
A lot of the furniture we get is still very useful, and it's in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
And we will not take items that are not in great shape.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of use the, not a threshold, but we think about is if it's good enough maybe to give to our children to use, it's good
mm-hmm.
enough to give to these people. But if it's not in great shape, then we a lot of times we'll just pass it on.
Yeah. Do you take any things to Habitat for Humanity or get things from there? No.
No, we haven't. We have not done that, but we do shop at Goodwill and Salvation Army and thrift stores when we have to. There's just a certain amount of things that you're not going to have
mm-hmm.
donated. And we also have items that we're really particular about having new. You know, we beds especially. We'll take used sheets, wash them, used comforters.
Mm-hmm.
Pillows, we like new ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And mattress pads.
And mattresses.
You know.
That's where the cash donations come in.
Right.
It's very helpful because there are always some things that you need to get new that aren't going
to
be donated.
Yeah.
We have a sweet lady at our church who donates pillows on a regular basis.
Oh, how great.
Yeah.
Wow.
Another one that buys toasters and coffee pots.
Right.
People are so thoughtful. I mean, I thought that when we worked at Host, too. It was only a 6-month low barrier shelter, so we pretty much took anybody as long as their behavior was in control, you know. But people brought in so much stuff for the homeless people, and the homeless people themselves were so grateful. They just thanked us for everything. So when you go look at the home, are you always able to find enough to do it, or sometimes do you have to leave it with one bedroom not done? Or, no.
Never had to do that yet.
No, so far. Every blue crib we've needed has arrived.
Well, that's why our visit ahead of time, so we can see the place, we can do measurements, and we can talk to the person that's moving in and really learn what their needs are, and we make sure we meet those needs.
Wow. And you said you take pictures. Do you put those on the website somewhere? You must just look at them with pride, right? Just thinking, wow, we did this.
It's a lot of fun to go back and look at the before and after. And the other thing that's really great about the website and Facebook is that the people that have donated things can mm-hmm. look at those pictures as well.
Oh, nice.
And it gives them such a great, you know, sense of pride and helpfulness that they can go, hey, look at that bed. I couldn't use it anymore, but it looks terrific in this house. So it's nice to be able to share with everybody.
So you do bedspreads and sheets and all that
mm-hmm.
too?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I had one lady just the other day say, that's my couch. That was my couch. She was so excited
to see her couch
and her love seat in someone's home.
Do you go back to the people afterwards, follow up ever?
No.
No, but they seem to find us.
Sometimes they do.
Oh, they do. They come back and say, we could really use another dresser.
Right. We made a conscious decision, the four of us, not to go back because, you know, we leave it looking mm-hmm. the best that we can. And if we went back and something was gone or changed, you know, I would say if they had to sell the TV to buy food.
Right.
It's all their things. They do with it as they please.
Once it's done, you leave it. I think that's a good way to do it. So what would volunteers do if someone wanted to volunteer with you?
Well, once we have a central location, it'll change. For right now, if someone wanted to volunteer, they can help us carry furniture.
Okay.
We're always looking for some strong backs to...
Yeah.
Get things into the house if they want to come in with us and help decorate. They can make beds, put away dishes, wash dishes,
Have you been
curtains.
Written up in the newspaper?
No.
And we've had a few people call, but we haven't gotten a response from the newspaper.
Yeah, I really think once the word of this is out, and certainly blips from this program will be on air eventually. It's just so amazing. It is. It really is.
It's been difficult up to this point to have regular volunteers because we're located in three places.
Yeah,
right.
And we're also operating in Racine. You know, we're in Franklin, and Cindy's in Mount Pleasant Prairie, and our storage unit that our son-in-law gives us in Oak Creek. So we're close to getting a warehouse in Racine, so we're hoping that because we're located here where we're where the work is, that it might be easier to get people to.
Yeah. I think where you could maybe easily get, I've gotten a lot of help when I've needed volunteers, like at Host from the Volunteer Center of Racine. But maybe if what you need is like on the setup day and you'd like some guys that could carry heavy things or women who like to decorate, or that was very stereotyped, wasn't it? Or women who carry heavy things and men who like to decorate. But, you know, you could just advertise for that one day or put some dates on Volunteer Center. They really have a lot of volunteers there that help a lot.
And Gay had even had mentioned that perhaps we could get some of the people from Halo to come and help carry.
Oh, that would be great. Mm-hmm. That would be great. How are you doing financially, I guess is my question. Do you take monetary donations, but it must cost a lot of money technically in terms of your time and also getting things. And so how are you financing it? Have you gotten many? Maybe that's a good one for you, Jim.
Well, we have gotten donations in, and they come in sporadically, but we have gotten donations in. It just seems like when the bank account starts to get low, somebody comes through, might donate $1,000 or something, and that really helps significantly, because we estimate that each one we do costs anywhere from $200 to $300, because we don't have everything that we can give these people. We might have to go out and buy a dresser or a chest of drawers or something because we don't have it in inventory.
That would be a good thing to go to Habitat for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. But we have found places. We found a place in Milwaukee that rebuilds beds.
Oh my gosh!
And they give us a discount also. So we've been able to get they're like brand new beds, and they're very inexpensive.
Great.
And we've got a nice relationship with them. So we've been pretty ingenious in some of the ways that we've done. Diane spends a lot of time at Goodwill, as does Cindy.
Yeah.
And you can really find some good stuff inexpensively. So we spend our money wisely, and but we've been blessed that people continue to donate funds mm-hmm. and help us to keep moving along.
Yeah. You must, when you see a site, you must feel like interior decorators, right? And go to Goodwill and buy green vases. Or well, you probably don't buy vases, right?
Yeah, we do.
Oh, we do.
Oh, you do.
Oh, we do. Yeah.
So, oh, man. It
is fun. I love to decorate, and it really is fun. Cindy and I do it. We sometimes have to FaceTime it, but sometimes I go to her house, mm-hmm. and we go through the basement. We just shop the the decor that we have and the bedding that we have. And it's really exciting to make
a plan.
Especially if you have someone who, like the lady that said, I love red, and you immediately, I think, there's a red queen-size comforter there, and, mm-hmm. and we can give her that. And it's fun.
Uh-huh.
There are days, Cindy and I talked about this morning, there are days when you wake up in the morning and think, oh, I just don't know if I have the energy to do this today. But then you go there and you set this up, and these folks walk back in and with tears in their eyes, and they're so grateful that you walk out, you're so uplifted.
I know. It's truly
you can't
amazing.
Wait to start the next one.
Exactly. Yeah. When do we get another call?
Wow. Yeah. What's the largest place and the smallest places that you've furnished?
The first one, the second one we did was a studio apartment.
Okay.
And that's so that was the smallest. We've done two of those. They're pretty similar, and they were in the same building.
Three or four bedroom.
I think the
four-bedroom house?
Yeah, the four-bedroom. Three-bedroom, four-bedroom. You did a four-bedroom.
I did a four-bedroom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. December 26th last year.
Oh, that was a three-bedroom.
Yeah.
But Cindy and Rob did the one that was four bedrooms. And that requires a big truck. And we are really fortunate to have Cindy's employer, my former employer, has generously donated the use of his big truck. Oh, box truck.
That is just great.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So you obviously don't have an office.
No.
Maybe some listener out there might have a place that they're waiting for somebody to rent and that could generously just donate the space. Mm-hmm. So if anybody has office space in the Racine area, I'm sure you'd want to look at that.
Sure.
Yeah.
We're hoping that this warehouse we might be able to use as an office as well. But, yeah, we're looking for any kind of help we can get with storage and office space.
I was going to ask you if you guys buy some of the things, but I think I heard that in there.
Yeah, we do.
So how much do you end up out of pocket? I don't mean exactly, but is that pretty common occurrence?
Very.
Yeah. $200 to $300 a place usually.
Really?
By the time we get done. Yeah. We often have to buy pots and pans because people don't donate their pots and pans. They usually ruin them and throw them away. we buy pillows, mattress pads. There are things that we buy. Sometimes we don't have to spend a lot. We often buy TVs.
Okay.
And we often use our own money.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I didn't think you provided TVs, but you do.
We do if we can. Uh-huh. It's probably the last thing on the list.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, we buy microwave ovens as well. We have had several of our families that didn't have a stove.
No kidding.
No stove, no refrigerator.
Wow.
Which was a real surprise to me that they could rent to people without appliances. So then a microwave becomes incredibly important.
Absolutely.
Especially if there are kids there. And
And a crock pot.
Mm-hmm. Toaster ovens.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wondered if you might want to tell me a story without names, but something that touched each of you. Do you have a memorable house that you went to or family that you went to, again, without their names,
of course?
We may
have the same one.
the little boys?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
We did a house with a mom with four little boys. Four little boys and a little girl. And the day we went to visit the house, there was a 7-year-old boy who came. He was very friendly. He came up to me and he said, "You know, why are you doing this? Or where do you get this stuff? Or how do you do this?" And I said, "Well, people share their things with us, and we share them with you." And he was pretty excited to get a bed. They had no beds or anything. And then he said, "Well, you know, my brothers and I would really like a bike." And he said, "I don't need training wheels, and my older brother doesn't need training wheels. The 6-year-old does, and the little one just needs a trike." And I, you know, it sort of took my breath away because I said, you know, we have to give you beds. We don't have bikes. And he said, oh, okay, okay. And about a month later, we encountered the landlord, who was just a wonderful man. We encountered him, and I said, how's the family doing? And he said, they're doing well. And I said, I really am sad that we couldn't give them bikes. Because I'd gone home and called my son and all his friends to see if anybody had any bikes, and nobody did. And he said, well, I fix bikes, so in the spring I'll give them each a bike.
Oh.
So I was just heartened by his generosity as well.
Wow.
So hopefully those four little boys got bicycles.
There's got to be just, I don't know, such a good feeling in each of you for doing something that's so important. And did you get to see them get the bikes?
No.
But you knew it was happening.
Just trust that it happened, right?
Do you want to say what each of you personally gets out of this?
Oh, I guess it's me.
No, I think that it's just, we've been blessed over the years. I've gone on mission trips, and you just get more out of it than what you give. It's just an amazing experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very humbling to see people, you know, what they have, and the little that we can do to help them is just a great experience.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
It's just an overwhelming feeling, I think, of love and connectedness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it's not people over on this corner and people over on this corner. We're all together and sharing, and to see somebody be able to come home. Like when we leave there, the first thing I think of when I go home is they're going to crawl into a nice warm bed tonight.
I know.
And the feeling that must be, you know, the feeling of normalcy, and that you are part of society and that people do care about you. You're not forgotten and left out someplace. It's just amazing. It really is. It's very uplifting, and it's addictive. You just want to do it again and again and again.
I felt like that when you guys are talking about going to the sites. Like, boy, I'd like to do that. And then my mind was also thinking, what a great story that would be for the newspaper. Maybe the next home we should call them. Have them come over and take pictures.
I think that I always, when I think about how I feel, I think of one young man, 12-year-old boy. When they came back into the house, he walked into his room and he just threw himself on the bed face down and cried.
Aww.
And I thought, what must it mean to not have a bed?
Not have a bed, not have a
room. And then to all of a sudden have one. And it really is humbling.
Uh-huh. It's humbling. I get tears in my eyes.
Yeah. I often do.
Yeah.
I bet. So you have a potential for a building, but would you still like people to contact you if they might have storage?
Yes,
area?
I think so, because, you know, we'll be leasing, and if something changes and that building is sold or something else happens, we'll need a different location.
Okay. So again, for anyone listening, I had that phone number here, but I'll let you say it, Diane.
It's 414-520-7465.
There it is. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I worked at Host, and it's always hard to see people who don't have things and who are homeless. And maybe this is a bigger, like, philosophical question, but what do you think we should be doing differently as a society when you look at the families and their needs? It's kind of a big question.
It is a big question. I think I always think about kindness. Kindness, love and kindness, and justice. I think we have to share. We have to be aware that there are people suffering, not by anything they've done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't feel like I have everything, all the things that I have, because of things I did. I was fortunate to have parents that were supportive and loving and got me an education. Not everybody has that.
No.
We need to share what we have.
Yeah, it's. I just read this book about, there was a kind of about these kinds of issues, but they also say you have to have one person, to make it through. You at least have to have one person who cares about you, mm-hmm. and that's kind of what you guys are providing here. So, any other thoughts on what we could do differently? I think the kindness and justice. Awareness to just being aware that mm-hmm. that was a good thing about that homeless article on the front page of the paper this week is it makes you so aware that there are...
We're always going to have people in need, and I think that those of us that are fortunate need to reach out and try to take care of them best we can. I mean, there's a lot of causes of homelessness and poverty in this country, and probably too many to be able to control, but we have to be there to help these people.
Yes.
And don't feel like there isn't a place. I think a lot of people sit back and they think, I want to help, but they don't know where to go. You know, reach out. Talk to your friends. See who's doing what. Mm-hmm. You know, we are so open to having people come. We stumbled upon something that somebody else had an idea about. There are places where you can help. Mm-hmm. You know, reach out. Talk to each other.
Can you say what that idea was?
Oh, the humble design.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
This was all born of their idea.
But other places came up for, like, Feather the Nest or something, so there must be some other organizations, or did you think you thought that out? Maybe you did.
I don't know where it came. We were trying to come up with a name, and Cindy was looking online and said Feather a Nest, and we both said, wow.
Great. Wow. That says
that
what we do.
Isn't that a great name?
It's perfect.
It's perfect. So do you ever have outreach to artists in the community? Have you come across artists or photographers who might help you with some of the pictures and designs?
We have connections to some local friends that have done artwork for us, but it would be great if the artist community in Kenosha and Racine could donate some of their art to use to decorate the places, and also students
So people
UW
listening.
UW at Gateway,
I think artists would, if more artists knew about this, I think you'd be flooded with it, because there really are a lot of, there's a very caring artistic community in Racine and in the Kenosha area. And so we'll try to get that out there too. Do you anticipate needing paid staff at any point?
we've been so busy, we haven't really had a chance to look too far past we really need a storage place. So I think once we get there, I hope we will. I hope that we'll get bigger than the four of us. Mm-hmm. I hope that there's a point in time when we do need to hire somebody, and we can be more on the fringe than right in the middle of it.
Yeah. Well, you guys should feel so proud of what you've done, the four of you. I can't imagine. It just sounds like a very important and very big challenge that you're addressing here. What about partnerships with businesses and corporations? Are there kinds of corporations or businesses that could help?
I know that Humble Design has partnered with U-Haul to use storage facilities and trucks. They also have two men in a truck have donated one Saturday a month to them to help with their needs. They also have a furniture store that helps them with mattresses. We would welcome any sort of partnership. You know, if there was a furniture store that had floor models that they weren't using, or, you know, things that maybe weren't up to sale quality, we would love to have those donations.
Wow.
But, you know, we're so new. Just the day-to-day getting apartments furnished has taken up a lot of the four of our time.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't had time to go out and seek those sorts of things.
The person who told me about you was just effervescent about saying how important and good this program is. And I just had never myself heard of anything like it. And again, also Gay Lorenzen, the executive director of HALO, just can't say enough. What are some of the other places where you get referrals from? We mentioned HALO. Maybe you mentioned some.
The Hope Center. The Women's Resource Center.
Okay.
And now Lutheran Social Services has a program called TIBRA, which is tenant-based rental assistance.
Oh, okay.
And they've referred some people to us as well.
Mm-hmm. So in Movers, too, if you're out there, call them, 414-520-7465. So just on ending here, I know you have a wish list. What is on this wish list for listeners?
Right now, top item is dressers and beds, I believe.
Yes.
Dressers and beds are huge.
Mm-hmm. Right. We can always use microwaves.
Okay. So when you say
televisions.
Televisions.
Yeah.
Okay. We had to pay again to get rid of our old television sets.
Well, yeah, of course we can't handle the very big ones, you know, the tube ones. We've had a few of those donated that are almost too heavy also. But but televisions.
That's great. So you get microwaves, but you don't get refrigerators and stoves.
Right, It's got to be something a couple, you know, 50s and 60-somethings can carry up the stairs.
Right.
We can do the microwaves.
And maybe for that wish list, you could just tell our listeners some things that they might be able to provide besides the big dressers.
Bedding.
Bedding.
Everybody needs sheets and mattress pads and comforters. Mm-hmm. We need pillows. We have, as we said, we have this lovely lady at our church that brings pillows, but there are lots of, everybody needs a pillow.
Mm-hmm. And do you take towels, too?
Yes, we do. Absolutely. We go through lots of towels, shower curtains.
Do they have to be new?
In good condition.
In good condition and, of course, washed.
Right, and I'll probably wash them again. Cindy will wash them again.
On our website, on the donate button, there is a link to donate monetary donations, but there's also a link there that will show you the list of items that we need.
Excellent.
On a daily basis, anytime you have those items, we are more than happy to receive them. And also, we've had a couple of people sponsor a room, which is a really great thing. You know, if
does
they get
their
together,
name go in it or something? Or?
No, we just say that we have, you know, say a 7-year-old boy or a 5-year-old boy, and they get together and buy everything or collect everything that you need for that room.
Wonderful.
And that's kind of fun too, because then they get to do the hunting and the shopping.
Wow. I would guess we'd have listeners that might really be interested in doing that. So the website, again, is Feather and Nest. I almost said Furnish a Nest. Featherandnest.org. So is there any last thing you'd like the listeners to know, maybe each of you? Something?
I would just like to say that if you choose to try to start a nonprofit, be persistent. It was not easy for us to break in, and I mean, we got our 501c3 fairly easily. We knew what we wanted to do. We got lots of help from Humble. The hardest time we had was getting somebody to recognize us. I think often the agencies are a little leery of volunteers because they maybe don't do exactly what they say they're going to do. So once we got one of the social workers at Halo to let us furnish an apartment, things just blossomed.
Isn't
from there.
That something? And they're going to blossom even more, I think.
I hope so.
And either of you?
I'd like to thank everybody who's helped us. We've had so many people along the way that have, you know, like our previous employer that's donated a truck. I had a friend in the very beginning that donated an empty apartment for us to store the few things that we bought, you know, just to get started. And, you know, your son-in-law and everybody has been so helpful to this whole mission that we do. And it's just amazing to see.
I know.
I just feel like that, again, as I've said earlier, that we're just blessed. You know, I believe in a God, a loving God, and that we're an extension of that being in this world, and that we need to do these things just as thanking him for what he's done for us.
Thank you. Well said by all of you. And I see this as like a snowball. I think it's going to grow and grow and grow as more publicity gets out there. But what an important thing you're doing. We've heard the phrase many times, there's no place like home. I want to express our gratitude today to Diane Wittenberg, Jim Wittenberg, and Cynthia Sir for this unique program that makes the homes for so many a place to nest in and a place to call home. Thanks to the three of you for joining us today, and we congratulate you on your impressive work with Feather and Nest. It makes a difference. And thanks to you, our listeners, for sharing with us your time this Saturday morning. We hope that you will join us here at WGTD every week for this program because, as we all know so well, community matters. Take care.
You've been listening to Community Matters, a program that airs every Saturday morning at 11:15 on WGTD. For an online recording of today's show, log on to WGTD's website at WGTD.org, click Talk, and go to Community Matters. Your gateway to public radio is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, the Kenosha Public Museum announces the opening of the Richard Harris Collection, Memento Mori, The Art of Death, on display from December 16th through February 25th. For more, call 653-4140.
Support comes from Kenosha Winter Harbor Market, featuring Angela Keisley, offering seasonal artisan produce and fresh baked goods. You'll find her just outside the entrance.